Hello and welcome back to another episode of Vikings Happy Hour, sponsored by Lake Monster Brewing, Eastside Jiu-Jitsu, and That's Badass Wood Art. Remember to use promo code CTPOCKET for 25% off any one item at thatsbadasswoodart.com. The Vikings training camp for the 2023 season is underway, boys, in a grueling heat on Wednesday. Brutal. for those folks. I was actually talking with Darren Wolfson of KSTP a little bit earlier today, and he said he sweat right through his shirt in the heat today. So he was I don't think he enjoyed the weather too much, but a lot to talk about. We had intro pressers yesterday from Kwesi, Kirk, Kevin O'Connell, Harrison Smith had some. So a lot of sound bites and a lot of things to talk about. So let's rewind back to Tuesday, and let's talk about a topic that probably deserves a little bit more attention, and that's Danielle Hunter. So here's a soundbite from Kwesi on the Danielle Hunter situation.
There's a lot of things we're trying to work through with Danielle. Obviously, we haven't seen him since last season. So that, amongst many other issues that we're trying to work through with his representatives, those conversations are ongoing. So I don't want to give you an answer and tell you yes or no, but those conversations are ongoing.
Since he reported, do you feel confident that he's going to be part of the team this year?
I'm really excited to see him. It's great to see a great player like that. Great Viking. I'm really excited. So I just want to make sure I say that. That's where I'm at right now.
What do you guys think about that comment from Kwesi Adofo-Mensah on Danielle Hunter?
Flip, I'll let you roll with that one.
I'm happy Danielle showed up. I think it certainly is the best thing that he could do in the short term is to be here at camp. You know, we'll see if he ends up practicing, with or without the deal. I think Kwesi hit it on the head, like happy to see him, happy he's in camp. I think Danielle's a guy who is loved in the locker room and in the facility. And I think he loves being there. So show up, you know, again, like I've said on earlier shows, Danielle Hunter has probably deserved more over the course of his career, but you get paid based on what you should do going forward.
Isn't it interesting with Danielle Hunter? Like, I felt like forever we were like, this dude's so underpaid. He's so underpaid. And then he got paid and we're like, he's still underpaid.
Look, at the end of the day, Danielle's at camp. He wants to be there. He wants to play football. Seems like he wants to play football with the Minnesota Vikings. He's made $74 million over the course of his career, which is a large sum of money, generational wealth. I'm not selling short the fact that he deserved more in his past, but in his future, if he's at a place where he's like, you know what? I don't need to be at the top of the market in order to contribute towards a team that's chasing a Super Bowl, then I'm sure they can, in the short term, you know, have him play on that 1-year deal, or in the long term restructure to get something done.
I also think it speaks volumes to Kevin O'Connell's culture already.
Yeah.
Like, to have what we had seen as a maybe potentially disgruntled player with his contract still show up amid everything. Granted, he was not out on the practice field Wednesday at all. So they're calling it a hold in, which I think that's the first time I've heard of things being called a hold in, but whatever. But
yeah, I think it happened last year with a player too. But yeah, at least he's here though, right?
Yeah, it speaks volumes to Kevin O'Connell's culture that even with all of this stuff going on, that he would want to show up. So I'll be curious to see kind of how they handle this.
Over time, it does. I could see it getting awkward. You know, I'm not a veteran of NFL locker rooms or facilities, but 4 or 5 days go by and he's still showing up every day, but not going out on the field. Everybody's coming back in sweaty from the practice, and he's only doing film session. I'm not sure how they navigate that, but at minimum, it's certainly better for his trade value to be in camp with the guys than if he were doing a full holdout.
Are you nervous about, this is just ticky-tack stuff, but the only teams he follows on Instagram, I guess, are the Vikings and the Jaguars.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean,
And leave it up to Viking fans to figure that out, right?
Obviously, yeah. There's definitely, was it Tanishka that found that one out? She's always looking at all that stuff. no, when I look at it from that perspective, you know, Jaguars don't really need a pass rush. I mean, obviously, everyone needs more pass rushers, but
sure.
You know, they have a couple good young guys, Trayvon Walker and Josh Allen there. So I don't know if they're going to be giving up big time assets to be able to acquire somebody like him. I really did think I thought he was going to be going to the Niners this year. I thought him opposite Bosa would have been a pretty mean duo there.
It still could happen.
Absolutely. So when I'm not overly concerned about it, because one way or another, we're going to be in a good spot. We're either going to get some probably pretty good value, as Flip had just mentioned. It adds to his value that he's actually at camp, whether or not he's going to actually hold out or not, but he's at least there. So that adds to his value. But if we can work something out, we have a great player, right? We all know what he is. He's a very good player. Even last year, it wasn't up to maybe some Vikings players or Viking fans' standards, but he still had a really solid year. I mean, I think he was one of a top 10 PFF edge rusher based on their ratings, right? So I think he played well. I would be happy for him to be in an even more aggressive defense with Brian Flores. I think that Flores could really maximize his skill set and really get a lot out of him. But if not, and the stars don't align and we end up trading him, hopefully we're getting some great value out of him as well.
Yeah, for sure. And Flores talked about that too in his presser today, or today is Wednesday. Just that he has had conversations with Daniil kind of about his role in the defense. So it's not like Daniil is left in the dark on what to expect this season. I think it's just, he wants to get paid, and I can respect that. So hopefully everything kind of gets resolved there. One thing that was brought up in Kwesi's press conference on Tuesday that I didn't expect to really come up is the conversation surrounding Kirk Cousins being in a contract year. And so let's listen to Kwesi here for a second, and then I'll get your guys' thoughts.
To the future and not having a quarterback, or is this just kind of a wait and see kind of?
Yeah, we had great conversation with Kirk and his representatives, Mike and AJ. Ultimately, when you sit across the table from somebody, you try and understand their perspective and make sure they understand yours. And that's how our conversations were. It was never a type of thing where it was combative or it was yes or no. It was right now, we can't come to a solution that fits both of our perspectives. But we always knew that we were going to keep coming back to the table and conversing about where we see these things and ultimately try and find a decision that works for both parties. Again, always in that vision of trying to be one of those last teams standing. And if you can't do that, you shouldn't make decisions. But we're going to keep talking with those conversations as we go forward.
What do you guys think about his response on Kirk Cousins there?
Your turn, Ryan.
I mean, it's as what it was the term, politically correct as of an answer as you possibly could make. And honestly, Kwesi's really good about that, right? Like he's good about providing an answer that doesn't really answer the question, but also gives you enough where it sounds like he did, right? Mm-hmm. So the hard part that he's at right now is that he has to be able to build a Super Bowl contender with a roster that's now gotten quite young.
Yeah.
And there's ascending stars that need to get paid. And how many stars can we keep here with a quarterback that is aging? And deservedly is asking for a lot of money. Like I'm not gonna sit here and say Kirk doesn't deserve the money. He's done a great job. He's put up stats. He's led this team well. So you know he wants to get paid for it, and I understand that. But we have young, really good talent in Justin Jefferson, T.J. Hockenson, Christian Darrisaw, and others, right? That are coming up on contract that we need to be able to retain. And Kirk can't win without these guys because we're not even winning with these guys right now. So we're at this kind of weird standstill of like
last year.
And that did a lot for us in the playoffs. So like we're in a standstill here of like, what do we do next? And I think a lot of us fans are anticipating okay, it's time to go and find our guy. Let Kevin O'Connell go get his guy. But I, you know, from all accounts, it seems like he likes Kirk. It's just, we got to find a middle ground where he's happy with the contract and we're happy with the cost of it, where we can retain all this other talent.
I'm sure Kirk and his camp are drooling at the potential of what he could make this offseason if he has another good year, just given what Justin Herbert just racked in. I mean, Kirk.
Yeah, but Herbert's also a 25 or 24.
Sure. Yeah. But like in the grand scheme of, you know, quarterbacks here, just taking a look, like Kirk Cousins is now dropped easily out of the top. I don't even think he's a top 15 paid quarterback anymore. You got, let me count it here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. He's the 16th highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Behind.
Is that by cap or is that by actual dollars?
Average year. So
per year.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's 35 a year right now, which is behind guys like Daniel Jones, Matt Stafford, Kyler Murray. Like it's interesting to kind of watch that all play out. And next year.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm a firm believer that Kirk's going to have an amazing year. I've said before, the Netflix special was going to be a great thing for him.
It was.
He came off very well in that show. Everything I've heard from Kirk as far as him hiring, you know, a full-time person to work with him during the season at his house shows that he's all in. You think about the fact that he's entering the second year in Kevin O'Connell's scheme. There's a focus on improving the efficiency of the run game. He's behind the same offensive line that he was last year. I would be very, very surprised if Kirk didn't have a great year. And that's going to set him up for success, for a big contract here or elsewhere. You know, I don't have many worries right now if I'm Kirk Cousins' agent. Now, if all that plays out and the Vikings don't make the playoffs, then it's going to have to be elsewhere because the Vikings are going to be more in rebuild mode than competitive mode. So it's almost those are things that may be out of his control. But everything that is in Kirk's control, he's taken care of. And yeah, Kwesi just might have to make a very hard decision. You know, you go over to the what's happened in New York with Aaron Rodgers making $1.2 million on the cap this year and $108 million
just doing that despite the Packers.
Next year. Kwesi might only have 1 year left on his contract, so he could do something like that with Kirk. But it's going to be very hard to tell me that we can draft a replacement for Kirk Cousins in 2024 because he's about to go off in 2023.
We're going to come back to that in a second, though, because I am curious what you mean by, because you said he's going to have a great season. We won't spend a ton of time on Kirk, but I do think it's interesting when you kind of watched Kirk's presser on Tuesday. We've seen him now for 6 years. This is the most comfortable I've seen him, like, coming into a training camp. Like, there's some, like, tension in the previous years back when Zimmer was here or when he was new to the team, but like I really do think that there's a comfort level with Kirk, and for all the reasons you said, Flip, I mean it's the offensive line, it's the same play caller, same head coach, same offensive scheme, like top to bottom, and we know Kirk wants to know what's coming. Like, he doesn't want unknown or like anything kind of off script. And so this is the perfect situation for him as we head into 2023. But back to your comment quick, and then we can talk about Jefferson and in the first day of practice. I don't think I've ever heard you speak highly or like project Kirk to be good.
I mean, it is what it is, you know? And again, I think I've been very,
it's the dad in you now, isn't it?
Kirk's success does not necessarily mean team success, you know, because that is just era of the NFL salary cap that we're in. But I can't think of a single thing working against Kirk Cousins. Maybe you can argue that his center is still Garrett Bradbury, but it's the same offensive line, which has its own benefits. He's got his
But also, Flip, real quick, that same offensive line, you mentioned that a couple times. I mean, I was just watching that episode of the Netflix deal.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the most hit quarterback at one point in the season, and he – you know, and he, it was, I can't remember which episode, 3 or 4, where, you know, they're talking about how they take care of their bodies, but that dude was like dying after it was at the Buffalo game. I can't remember which game it was.
For sure,
it
was one. He got
beat. Is that the one where he walked off the, I think he walked off the field. It was like, I gave it all I got. And then obviously we, yeah, it was that game. So it's like, hopefully Ed Ingram, Garrett Bradbury, and Ezra Cleveland, because I don't think it was much on the tackles. Hopefully those three can find some continuity and be able to perform a little better together this year.
It explains a lot.
I think what's so interesting in terms of perception, though, is that everybody's looking for it now. So if that happens again, if he's playing against a porous offensive line, nobody's going to hate on Kirk for it, like you may see in previous years, right? Because that Netflix special almost helps him there. I mean, even a full year of playing with TJ Hawkinson now, a lot of things working in his favor. Now, it is Kirk Cousins. There is that, you know, lack of confidence when it comes to the fans going into postseason with Kirk Cousins as your quarterback. But if we get there and he has a great year, then yeah, it's going to be enough for him to get paid.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to keep the conversation moving here. You mentioned TJ Hawkinson, so that feels like a good transition from my side. Cole Kmet from the Bears signed a 4-year, $50 million contract on Wednesday, which leaves at least me wondering, what the hell does a TJ Hawkinson contract extension look like? Because if Kmet's going to get that, which puts him as a top 10 paid tight end in the NFL, like TJ Hawkinson and his camp, they have got to be pounding the table for top five money, which, by the way, I went and looked. Top five money would put him, you know, between Dallas Goedert and Mark Andrews, probably in that 14-ish million dollar range.
But my guess is he's going to probably reset the market. Like,
you think he goes above Darren Waller?
Well, I guess I don't know his contract. I didn't do as much prep as you did. Year. So I doubt he goes that high, or maybe he does. But, you know, these guys, they're always resetting the market, right? We all know the best tight end of the league is Travis Kelce. We all know, you know, number two is somewhere between Mark Andrews and George Kittle, right? So, and then TJ's right there at maybe even at two. You never know, right? So he deserves that money. Now you look at Cole Kmet. He had a pretty darn good year last year. I mean, Justin Fields – they were really clicking last year at the end of the year. And I mean, I was just looking at this from a fantasy perspective, just because, you know, dynasties and stuff that we're doing. And Cole Kmet, I think, was like the number 7 tight end in fantasy last year, right? So just to kind of show some of his value.
Dude, Josh Oliver, I didn't realize, made more than TJ Hawkinson.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now, yeah.
Let's.
I mean, he just got paid off his rookie contract. Yeah, TJ's on the rookie contract. So, yeah. So I would assume TJ is probably going to be somewhere in the 15. I think me and Miles talked about this on a show earlier this year, that we anticipated probably being somewhere in that 15 range. Yeah. Who knows? He might reset the market, just because why not?
He deserves that. Like, he deserves to get paid that amount. One thing that I wanted
to be.
Well, so I was going to pose this question to you, Flip, because I did when that contract came out on Wednesday about Cole Kmet, I tweeted like, TJ Hawkinson's going to be a rich man. Well, our founder of the show, Jason Brown, commented and said that a comp pick is incoming. You think the Vikings maybe just say, thanks for your 2 years, TJ, we'll take a third round pick for whatever contract you go ahead and sign with another team? And you essentially,
I think $15 million is the breaking point for that. I don't think you go above $15 million.
Your wide receiver two, though, technically, right? Like,
yeah, he's fine. I mean, Mark Andrews is making $14 million. Travis Kelce is in that $50 million range. George Kittle is in that $50 million range. Those are wide receiver ones, basically. Those are receiver ones.
But I mean, but those contracts are also 2-3 years old, right?
Right. Like,
they reset the market at the time, and then now we got to reset the market, and then Travis Kelce next year is likely going to demand 20, and it's just going to keep going up and up and up.
The same breath, you know, you can say Lamar Jackson in the same breath as Patrick Mahomes. You can say Justin Herbert in the same breath as Josh Allen. I don't think you can say T.J. Hockenson in the same breath as George Kittle and Travis Kelce. And so I think there is a discount there where you're like, you can say, hey, you know, play one more year and let's get that comp pick. If you really think you're the best tight end in the league, a tight end who's going to reset the market, it sounds a little rich to me.
So what I'm hearing is Flip doesn't want T.J. Hockenson in our future if it's over $15
million. Yeah. And I think I'd add to that, like, I'm looking for 4 years. I'm not looking for like a 2 or 3 year extension.
I would agree with that. My only point I would have to add here, and I'm trying to pull it up. I think you're downplaying the effect that TJ had last year. Like his numbers since he joined the Vikings were like, they were top three. They were in the same sort of conversation as a Travis Kelce and George Kittle. Now, I don't think T.J. Hockenson is Travis Kelce, but you could sell me on George Kittle range, especially in a full season here.
And see, the reason why I like Hockenson and actually kind of liken him to a Kittle is where Kelce doesn't do this as much, but Kelce is just in another tier, in my opinion. But he's a phenomenal blocker. I mean, phenomenal for a tight end, right? Like, he can get in there and rough it up and do pass protection or run blocking with the best of the tight ends, right? With the George Kittle. I don't think he's as good as George Kittle is, but, you know, he's right there in that. So
you don't think he's
that's
as good
where
as
I'm
George
saying
Kittle?
Is like, I'm saying as a blocker, as a pure blocker, I think Kittle's a beast. So, I mean, have you seen that guy just like react to anything? He's literally
he's
insane.
Also super
so,
goofy.
Yeah, like that's what I mean. Like he's just wired differently, which makes him very effective at what he does, right? So, but I think TJ is like right there. So, you know, I think with his ability to be a wide receiver two, essentially, or a top two target on a team with the blocking ability as a tight end, it gives me a little bit more leeway than maybe Flip is giving of like, yeah, I'm okay if he is at like 15, 16. Yeah, I don't really want him to reset the market either because, again, that's rich. But if he does reset the market, I hope it's like at a five-year deal, right? So where we have a lot more flexibility to move money around, get out of the contract early and redo the deal for him later if needed, but, you know, and try to, you know, have a little bit more leeway, something that Kirk hasn't done for us in the past, which we've all said would have helped us like him more if we've had a little bit more flexibility with his contract. So hopefully TJ does that for us.
Front load it, because in 5 years, you'll be paying Jordan Addison his second contract.
5 years, I mean, let's talk about the other investments they made. And I think that's what changes the equation is you do sign a Josh Oliver. You do draft a Jordan Addison in the first round, where if for Jordan Addison to be a hit, he's going to be competing for the second most touches on the team this year.
Yeah.
You know, so that is a near term thing where you may be looking at TJ Hockenson as a third option behind Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison if things go well. You may be
as it should be, as it should be.
Right. So that puts a limit on how much you're willing to pay TJ as well.
Last thing on the TJ Hockenson thing, because I did find it. From the time he arrived in Minnesota to the end of the year, he ranked first in targets in the NFL, first in receptions, second in yards, and was tied for fifth in touchdowns. So if that is an indicator of what this season is about to be, that's top three, top two type production from a tight end, and which to me says that he deserves that kind of contract. So, speaking of contracts,
where'd you get those numbers from? You got PFF Ultimate over there.
So do you? It's with Climbing the Pocket. You just log in. Speaking of contract extensions, let's hear from Kwesi on Justin Jefferson?
Ongoing dialogue. I believe we'll speak with the representatives again soon. We just got back to training camp, right? So there's no rush per se in that regards. But look, Justin is, when we got here, there's certain types of players you want around. You know, players who love football, are great at football, make their teammates better, just have that winning spirit. I'll never forget when I first talked to him, I first met him, he just talked about winning. And that's what all you want around. So when you identify players like that, you try and find solutions to keep them around. We will do that as best we can as we go forward.
And before we get into kind of what our thoughts are on that comment, Justin Jefferson was asked today as soon as he walked onto the field, you know, what about your contract? To which, and this just screams leadership top to bottom, but a classic leadership answer from Justin Jefferson.
That's not the worries that I have right now. It's really all about winning the Super Bowl, you know, just getting the wins and being with my team. The contract is going to play itself, and I'm just out here to play football.
Let's go. When have we seen that from our star player? Like Adrian Peterson, much love to what he did on the field. He would have held out. He would have been like, no, you pay me my money and then I'll show up. Justin Jefferson, he's setting an example for everybody on that team that says, yeah, I know I'm the best, you know, wide receiver in football. I know that I'm going to break the bank when I get paid. But the most important thing is for me to be out here with my teammates, to be out here to try and win a Super Bowl. And that, this kills me to say, because I love Stephon Diggs. I don't know if Diggs would have done that back then. I could be wrong, so I don't want to put words in Diggs' mouth like he wouldn't have done something like that.
Isn't Diggs he leads. Holding out right now?
No, he's there. He's okay there. Diggs leads in his own way. You know, he's a special type of receiver. But what are you guys' thoughts on all of that? What are you laughing about? My excitement.
We're not going to get into the Diggs comments. No, Justin Jefferson, I absolutely love everything you're saying about him. I agree. Granted, we have 2 years to figure this out. So it's not something where he needs to be too rushed about it right now. And he even probably
I don't
knows
think you
that
do have 2 years. Like technically you have 2 years, but like
you absolutely have 2 years.
I feel like you owe him. I feel like you
but
owe him.
You do. Like, yeah, let's get it done. And it's advantageous for us to do so because it's another year of where we can pay him now without other players getting paid and resetting the market even higher than it already is, right? But we, in all reality, yeah, he can sit here and say, yeah, I'm not really worried about it because I'm going to get my fifth-year option picked up and then they'll have to pay me next year and it'll even cost even more money then. So, like,
that's fair.
I mean,
that's
sure, fair. He's saying the politically right thing, absolutely, and I hope he means what he says, where it's just about winning, and I do wholeheartedly believe that he believes that, but he's also not as worried about it and not needing to worry about a holdout because him and his representatives have 2 years to be able to figure out this contract. But yeah, absolutely. Like, it should always be about winning. And yeah, let your play do the talking and let your agents do what they're paid to do. And hopefully we can get him on another deal that can be advantageous a bit for us.
Flip, you've seen all the receivers here in Minnesota thus far dating. So have we, but Moss, Diggs, Carter. Now we're here with Jefferson. What are your thoughts on how this is going to all play out in kind of Jefferson's comments today?
Yeah, I think the difference between Jefferson and those other receivers is that at this point in his career, he is more mature than any of those receivers were. Maturity beyond his years. And, you know, I don't know the guy personally, but if I had to speculate, I'd say it's because he just comes from a long line of receivers at LSU. You know, it's not just Jamar Chase, it's Jarvis Landry, it's Odell Beckham. He has examples that he can follow, and it doesn't just show up on the field. I think the comment that Justin Jefferson makes about just wanting to win, it's because he's taken care of his money up until this point. He is very mature in the way he spends his money as well. GQ has a series on YouTube, How I Spent My First $1 Million, which if you go watch that Justin Jefferson one, half of it he put into savings right away. And so when you got half your money in savings, that allows you to have flexibility to say, all I care about is winning. That allows you to have flexibility to say, you know what? You don't want to give me the deal this year. I can go into next year and get an even bigger contract extension.
Yeah. And I guess that's kind of Ryan's point, right? Like,
yeah,
I guess for Jefferson, there's no, he's going to get paid like at the end of the day.
Well, and he comes from a winning culture too, right? Like he came from a very high, I mean, maybe one of, if not the greatest football team, or at least offensive football team of all time in college football. And they went and went on and won a national championship. So winning is, it's very addicting. So for him, he's just sitting here itching like, I want another championship. I want that feeling again where instead of Joe Burrow, it's Kirk Cousins lighting up that stogie, right? Like he wants that feeling again. and it's going to take, you know, everything he has to be able to get us there too. I mean, he's a very integral part of this team. So he needs to be focused on that if that's his ultimate goal, which I'm sure it is.
I'm purely speculating, but there's got to be like some slight motivation for Jefferson to be like, I have to win a Super Bowl before Burrow and Chase do. Like,
not just before, but like, look, those guys still talk. So at the end of the day, when their careers are over and they're, you know, over on the patio at the barbecue, they're not going to be talking about how much money they all made. They're going to be talking about the wins and the Super Bowls and the experience. And even like the Pro Bowls, those types of experiences that football gave them.
Yeah.
And so Justin wants that experience. He's motivated to get it. And I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. One final topic here, and it really just kind of points to day one of the practice. You know, it's, we didn't, no one was out there except for beat reporters. So not a whole lot to report, but I did take some notes quick and kind of get your guys' reaction. So O'Neal wasn't practicing. Oliudo was in for him at left or right tackle, which I think is interesting that it wasn't Lowe, who we had talked about the other day, Ryan. They gave it to Oliudo to start their team one. Josh Metellus got some call-outs again. We had him on the show the other week, and he just talked about his versatility in Brian Flores' defense. You're hearing his name buzz around a lot, and he's going to play that linebacker, that nickel, the safety, special teams. He's going to be a jack of all trades. And it's why I tweeted out today, you know, when he was on with us the other day, he said they really should just change my name or my roster position to football player or athlete, because I can do anything they want me to do. I just want to make an impact on the field. And then the other comment that I was going to
click on that I'm sorry to cut you off. I was talking to Crockett, friend of the show. I was talking to him earlier today. We're talking a little bit of Vikings. And are we concerned that Lewis Cine isn't being considered for this role, given his profile coming out of college as being that like thumper kind of slot safety linebacker? Kind of, he wasn't touted for his coverage skills as much as he was his tackling ability and all that. So should we be concerned that he's not beating Josh Metellus out for this starting, whatever you want to call this, star role, or not even beating out Bynum for the other safety role? Like, I know he had a catastrophic injury, but it seems weird that he's not maybe a bit more involved with those two roles.
I'll defer to Flip here and get his thoughts first, but then I can chime in if it's different.
I'm not concerned at all. I mean, this guy is a first-round pick.
It's a valid point, though.
Superb athlete, well-regarded out of college, and he's getting his legs back under him. I think when you add that into the fact that we have no idea what the Brian Flores defense is going to look like. Everybody says it's more complex. I think it'd be really unfair to ask Lewis Cine to recover from a bad knee injury and also ask him to be the day one starter in training camp in one of the most complex defenses in the NFL.
And be somebody that plays all those versatile roles too.
Right. Like, and play every
be a safety.
Role.
would be one thing, but to have to do it all. But I
think I kind of had the same thought process as well, to be honest. Yeah. But I wanted to bring it up since we were talking about it.
I love it. On a different day, maybe I would just take a different stand just to rile things up here.
Tell Crockett I say hi.
So the last big thing I think that stood out to me and a bunch of people today in practice was just the cornerback group and who played with the ones, who played with the twos. Caleb Evans, Byron Murphy, obviously starters. But JoJuan Williams also was with the ones, brought over from the Patriots. Mekhi Blackmon and Andrew Booth, they were with the twos. So anything to take away there, specifically around JoJuan Williams?
Not expected for me, honestly. I think the kid can okay. play. Okay. And I'm a little biased there, but I think.
Why are you biased there? Why are you biased there, Flip?
Vanderbilt University, bro. Anchored down. Bandy. Own water, baby. but that, and it's just, I don't think there's a lot of slot competition. The moment that Duke Shelley decided to head off to Las Vegas, I mean,
yeah,
a brand new set of cornerbacks, the veterans are going to win out on the first day of training camp. So I expect him over there right now over Blackmon and Booth. And then a Caleb Evans, I mean, if the guy can stay healthy, I think he's definitely the best young cornerback we have right now.
Yeah, and Josh Mattel has called him out too in our show as his breakout player on defense this year. Mm-hmm. So excited to see him and if he can stay healthy. I know that he spent a lot of time kind of developing and working on his helmet. I can't remember the article where I read that, but to kind of reduce those concussions. So big things for him, hopefully, in year two. Ryan, thoughts?
You do expect Williams to have a little bit of an edge over some of these guys as well because he is familiar with the Flores defense.
Sure.
Big body guy, you know, didn't really stay healthy, I don't think, really, with the Patriots. That was, I think, his biggest knock. But and then obviously they had a good stable of corners there too. So, it'll be interesting to see if he can have a little resurgence here in Minnesota, but – I do expect at some point Booth and or Blackmon to kind of play catch up a bit and hopefully be able to compete. The whole goal here is to have as many good quality corners as you possibly can have. So I don't, you know, because one of these guys is going to get hurt, and can we just have a seamless transition into the next guy? That's the goal.
Yeah, I think for me, it's not even. I mean, you want quality corners, so I'm not going to disagree with you there. But I think the thing that we have realized the last handful of years is just even healthy, competent starting corners. Like, can we just stay healthy as a unit? I think that would go a long way. Cause I would rather have Andrew Booth out there healthy, making mistakes than having to, and this is praise to Duke Shelley that he did what he did, but I don't want to have to go that route and hope for that outcome. I'd rather have the healthy, high potential guy in there. So it's day one of practice. It is what it is. There's going to be a lot of ups and downs throughout the year, but we should consider doing like a stock up, stock down kind of thing as we kind of work our way through training camp here. Any other thoughts from you guys before we round this thing out? Nothing.
I'm good. Yeah, it's been a lot of content.
Nothing
here
has happened yet.
I know. Yeah, we just pulled that 40-minute podcast off of it, so that's great. Just wait till the season gets kicked off. So, Flip, I want to thank you for hopping on, man. We always love having you here and getting your opinion on things. I think it's just a fresh, different perspective. So, I know you're not on Twitter anymore, so we'll do a better job at getting you into the shows when we're recording.
I'm in the shadows. I'll come out when I'm needed. Love the bad signal.
For everybody watching, we saw that you didn't really care for the offensive preview, so there is no defensive preview coming. We're just going to take it a day at a time here, but please be sure to like and subscribe, not only to the YouTube channel, but the podcast as well. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to your podcasts. And until next time, Skol Vikings.